This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Still moving and grooving right along as we take you around the DMV here on this Mother's Day on 106.7 The Fan. We're also simulcasting on our sister station, the Team 980. You're tapped into the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham. We'll take you up to 1 o'clock. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, as I mentioned, we will get into the Washington Wizards' big-time moment tomorrow for this organization as we get you geared up for the NBA draft lottery. Wizards with the number one odds, tied for the number one odds, to land the number one overall pick. Same odds as Utah and Charlotte. Our pal Chase Hughes of the Monumental Sports Network going to join us in the 11 o'clock hour to chew on that. Right now, we go out to the Rude Guest Hotline for the first time this show. We find one of the absolute best, my guy John Walton, the play-by-play voice for your Washington Capitals. John, what's going on, brother? How are you?
I am doing very well, Linnell. How are you this morning?
I've been better. Was not a fan of the performance last night. What happened after the first 20 minutes in this thing, John?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think there was some frustration because I said at first intermission, I mean, this was exactly what the Capitals needed to do. They needed to come out in that building and quiet the crowd. They did. They needed to get the better shots on goal and better shot attempts and zone time, and they did. And they got a lot of chances off the cycle, which meant they were getting the puck in the offensive zone and they were working it around. And it all looked very good. And then Carolina, because of strong goaltending from Freddie Anderson, who really saved them in that first 20 minutes, because the Caps could have scored three or four, and they didn't. And with Carolina hanging around, they went in at first intermission, and they came out with a lot more resolve, and then they did a lot of what they've done in the series. So it is, I think, a blueprint moving forward to be able to replicate that for 60 minutes and not 20. They've shown they can do it. They know they can do it on the road, and they did it for a long period of time. But you know, time ticks pretty quickly in a best of seven. They're going to have to take care of business tomorrow night now.
Yeah, I think you're 100% correct. The one thing that's also stood out here throughout this series, it feels like Fechkinov is like not being checked. Am I reading that? It feels like every time he's lit the lamp in this thing, he's almost untouched, and it feels like maybe the physicality needs to be ratcheted up a little bit more with him in particular.
On the goal last night that Svechnikov had, for sure, a missed check, missed assignment, and he goes. I mean, for the most part in this series, that line's been shut down. I think one of the things in just thinking back on it today, thinking back on last night, was in the first two games, despite not getting the chances and maybe needing to find another gear, as Spencer Carberry said after game two, the one thing I thought that was really good was they had managed to keep the Aho, Svechnikov, Jackson Blake line off the board. They had one assist combined going into game three, and then Blake scored last night, and then Svechnikov scored last night. So they kind of woke up, and I think that's a renewed focus that has to happen going into game four tomorrow, is you got to make sure those guys don't do what they did last night. If they're getting a couple of goals, and they won the special teams battle, which involved those guys too. So, I said at the beginning of the series, whoever wins the special teams battle is going to win this series. And, the Caps, I thought at home in the first two, thought they were all right. Even when they lost, I thought the special teams were okay. But last night, there's a little bit of a slippage there. So going to have to be better in that tomorrow night, too, when we go to game four.
Yeah, I know that's something you mentioned with me, I believe, on Monday when we previewed this thing. Is, they were really good in the 5-on-5 against Montreal. But in this series, the special team's going to have to be huge. I asked you this to start the series. I'll ask you this here again after, Washington gets blanked last night and you know, they're probably a little ticked off, and Tom Wilson's probably, you know, cussing people out and trying to get the troops rallied, so to speak. How do you draw that line between wanting to be physical, wanting to set a tone, but then not putting your team at a disadvantage?
I think the game four in the last series was how that happened, because, you know, Tom himself said after game three against Montreal, you know, he's too valuable to be in the box for that long. And there really wasn't so much that last night as it much as there was frustration in the third period. And I think the frustration stemmed from they really had great chances and opportunities in that first period. And when they don't happen, the one thing that was in the back of your mind was, oh boy, I really wish they got one or two there, because it would have been a very different game. And I think we would have been talking about a very different result today if Freddie Anderson didn't do what he's done. Now, I will give some optimism here that in just talking with folks in and around the Hurricanes who have watched this team for years, Freddie Anderson has a knack of being the best goalie on the planet for a while, and then inexplicably he stops being that. Yeah. Or he gets hurt, or something happens. There's always something going on with him. So hopefully, and you know, and if there's a time where maybe there's some slippage, I mean, I thought, you know, Logan Thompson was all right last night, but he wasn't the showstopper that he's been. That happens through the course of from a series, you know. So I think overall, I think if you end up in a situation where you can just get pucks and second chances, you get one, turns into two or three. I mean, anything is snowball against anybody. And the way Freddie Anderson's gone in this series, you're going to have to really find a way to dig deep and do that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. The one thing I was mentioning before you came on here that I think works in Washington's favor going into game number four, John, you know this, covering numerous of playoff series, you can't fake desperation in a postseason series. I think being down 2-1 on the road, there should be a sense of desperation that begins to kick in with this Capitals team. Do you pick up what I'm putting down, or do you feel like, you know, that should be the case, hopefully, here in game number four?
Has to be. I mean, this is the real pivot point. I mean, in the way this series has gone, I mean, we can always dissect and look at it however you want. The mentality in the room is always, look, there's this game and there's nothing else. There's nothing that came before and there's nothing that came after. It's only today. And that served the Caps pretty well under Spencer Carberry. But the reality is this. If you win tomorrow and it's 2-2, you've done a couple of things. Number one, you've evened the series. But number two, you've gotten home ice back and you've turned this into a best of three, where you only have to come back to Raleigh once, and you don't have to win here again. And that's important, right? Because the Capitals have yet to win a game ever in the playoffs here. They've only played them twice, but in 2019, they went 0-3 here. They're now 0-1, and they're two very different teams 7 years apart. But you take the 2019 series and you take this series in Raleigh, they've been outscored 16-3. So very much need, I think, to show better in this building. They need to know they can win in this building. They need to show that they are very much still a player in this series. And a win tomorrow does all of those things, and splendidly, because now, even if it went the distance, and I still think the series is going long, and I don't think we've heard the last of the Caps, and I'm hoping that just from a logistics standpoint, you know you're going to have to come back for a game six if you win tomorrow, but you know that you've got two home games in your pocket and only need to win two more. Win on home ice, you're moving on. So, but that, all of that depends on game four. So tomorrow night is, in a lot of ways, the whole shooting match. It's going to be very difficult to win three straight against these guys. It would be very difficult if you don't win tomorrow to win a game six in Raleigh when you would be on five at that point if it came to that in this building in the last couple of playoffs they've been here. So all these things that we'll be thinking about ahead of game four tomorrow night.
Getting the latest right now on the Washington Capitals after their Game 3 loss last night to Carolina with our guy John Walton, the play-by-play voice of your Washington Capitals. You can give him a follow on the X app at John Walton PXP. After game number one, John, in the couple of years that Carbs has been here, I think that was the most demonstrative I've ever seen him post-game. After last night, what do you think the mentality of Carbs is, and what do you think the messaging is from him going in to game number four?
I think it's better than what it was after game one, where he was very short and very unhappy in the post-game presser, as unhappy as I've ever seen him. This was disappointed, but this was more pointing to, I think, with some hope and some silver lining, that hey, that's the best period they played in the series in the first period in game three. I don't think there's any question. They did everything they wanted. That building was quiet. They get a little bit of puck luck, and you're up maybe 2-0 after one, and now Carolina's chasing a game. They're pressing. It's just a very different game. Didn't turn out that way, but I think there is at least that blueprint for him and for the coaching staff and for these players to be able to feel good. And I asked Ken Sabourin about that after the first period. I mean, if you're a guy in this room, how are you feeling after one? And that's basically what he says. Hey, look, you can play with these guys. You can absolutely do the job, and you just showed in their building you could do it. That doesn't go away just because the last two periods didn't go your way. I liked all of the analytical numbers that came this team's way after 20. All kind of evened out after that and much in Carolina's favor in the last 40 minutes. But, you know, they really grabbed that momentum and showed they could do it. And I think that was some of the message that the head coach had last night. And I think there'll be more of that. We meet him here in just a little bit here in the hotel for his off-day media avail, and I'm sure it'll be more of the same.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then he'll talk tomorrow, and I think that's the main message that you're going to hear.
Two more for you real quick here, John, before we let you go. We appreciate you making some time for us here on this Mother's Day. Protus last night kind of struggled a little bit. What do they need out of him moving forward, and how key will he be to game four?
Well, I think maybe looking at why that may have occurred, and with last change at home, and this is where it gets tough against Carolina, and we saw it in the last two periods, Rod Brindamore wanted to put his top line against Ovechkin and Strome and Protas. And then we saw a little bit at the end. We saw Wilson slide up there a little bit in the third. I don't read too much into that, only because a lot of times, Spencer, through the course of the season, if it's not going offensively, he'll make changes in the third, and you'll see a little bit of line blender going on, just trying to light a spark. That's something he very regularly will do. Don't know that we'll see that tomorrow or not. But you might, because the one knock on that line as a whole, and I'm not talking about Alexei so much as Dylan Strome and Alex Ovechkin, they don't have the foot speed those other guys do, and that makes that matchup a little tougher. So for Alexei, maybe he's pressing too much, or maybe he ends up, you know, in places where he's trying to compensate for that a little bit. Trying to match that speed is difficult. Dylan Strome has been so good in this series and so offensive and leading the team in scoring. But he's not a super fast skater. And, you know, that's where those matchups and getting what you want at home. I think exploitable if they can do it. And it's easier said than done on the road. But Jalen Chatfield and Dmitry Orlov, that pairing, they really went to town on in the first period. And Chatfield, I thought maybe his worst period I've seen him play. To his credit, he rebounded. But, I mean, I think that's a pair that they can work a little bit. And whether it's those three that are together, maybe Wilson changes. I think it's tough to change that second line because they've been together so long and they've gotten results. McMichael has been terrific. Dubois plays such a defensive role. And Wilson's been good offensively, too. So I'm sure there's a hesitation to break that line up going into game four. But if you think you need to make changes to be able to adapt to what they're throwing at you, it wouldn't surprise me if they tweaked a few things.
We'll let you go on this, my friend. What did you think of the scene in Edmonton last night, brother?
Man, see, here's the thing about playoff hockey. And for those who may not watch it as closely or maybe it's not their number one sport, the craziest thing about hockey are the mood swings and the momentum in the playoffs. Because just think for the Caps in this series. Like, it was the first game of this series was, oh my God, we just got blown out of the building and lost home ice and everybody's down. And then everybody sees game two is like, hey, we're back. And then tonight or last night it was, oh, we're down. And you know, tomorrow it could be right back up again. I mean, those are the mood swings and the levels, and what makes playoff hockey so great is because one night in, one night out. And it's no same for players, coaches, broadcasters. Like, you feel so good after winning, you feel so terrible after a loss. And I can only imagine, because Edmonton was that close. I mean, they're trying to go up 3-0 in the series, right. and to get a goal with 0.4. We've seen so many late goals. It's been a theme of these playoffs where, you know, Winnipeg ends up, you know, getting the game to overtime, and it looked like their season was over, and they end up winning in overtime themselves to move on to round two. It's exciting stuff, and, you know, for Vegas, you know, it gives them some life, and they know they're going to have a game five back home, and now, you know, they can sort of try and get it where the Caps are trying to do in game four, trying to get it even and then head back home and get home ice back, which they, after losing two games at home, and that's right. what Vegas did, that would be interesting to see how that goes. I love it. I love everything about playoff hockey, the drama, the moments. There's nothing like it. And hopefully we can get on that upswing, Linnell, tomorrow and get back square and get home ice again.
Fingers crossed, my friend. Have a good call tomorrow, as always, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, man. Have a great day. And happy Mother's Day to everybody out there.
Yes, sir. That is John Walton, the play-by-play voice of the Washington Capitals right here on the Washington Capitals Radio Network. Always love catching up with him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.